time. I'm going to start this today, and I'm going to try to play it. If it doesn't work out that way, I'll just read it because I've got the script here. But I would like to think of this as listening to the prophet of our day. Well, not for you younger guys, but for us older guys, you might remember this prophet of our day, if it'll play.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I would engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. So I set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please.
Do as you please.
To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd rent the TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect the discipline of emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who want it, until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what will you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey.
Good
day. 1965. Prophet of our day, right? Let's just cover a couple of things he mentioned there. He says, I'd subvert the churches first, with a campaign of whispers. I'd whisper, do as you please. And how many church denominations have you guys seen in the past decade, maybe more, that have split because of differences in how they're going to perceive the word of God, you know? And that's crazy. Some of them are teaching that the Bible is a myth. If you're on YouTube at all, I know you've seen things that talk about that. And you've seen all this stuff here about the Ethiopian Bible and all these other guys that are out there saying that the word of God, Well, it was only written in the 1600s. You know, you see that, you hear about it. What about the TV with the dirtier movies? You know, the girls, I have a wife and four girls, right? When the girls were growing up, especially when they were in their teen years, we'd be watching a movie and all of a sudden there'd be a suggestive part that would come on and I'd be like, oop, nope, we're gonna stop right now, we're gonna fast forward, and oh dad, you're such a prude, you know, come on. And I said, no, I don't want to see that. And you shouldn't want to either. And the guy that you end up with, he don't need to be watching that either. Okay? So, you know, that was a problem. You know, there was days in my life that I remember watching that stuff. And it was hard to stop watching that stuff. You know, I don't want to see it. You know what made me think about it at the time was, wait a minute, I have four girls. And every girl that's on one of those movies is somebody else's daughter. I don't ever want to see those again. I don't want anybody to see anything like that. Let's see, I would peddle narcotics to whomever I could. Remember that? Well, that's today. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction, you know, right? We like to, you know, go places, eat out, and sometimes we like to go on cruises. Anybody been on a cruise? You know, okay, yep, you guys have been there. And you know what those are like. And do you ever have to buy a drink package? Whoa, not me, I drink water with a lime. You know, that's there. Tranquilize the rest of the people with pills. That's today. The families at war with themselves, churches at war, nations at war with themselves. And this country is more divided today than it's ever been since the Civil War. Agree? Okay, just want to make sure I was in the right room. Okay, we'd have to have drug sniffing dogs and metal detectors in our schoolhouse. They're there. They got to check and see, because if not, somebody's going to be bringing in guns and knives. Prisons are overflowing. We know that, right? Yeah. When I was with the Department of Corrections, I did a course called MRT, Moral Recognition Therapy. I did that in the jail, and it was packed then, you know, and overflowing. I can't imagine what it's like today. Substitute psychology for religion. Deify science. Now, there is one thing I did see on a TED Talk recently I think would be good for you guys to check out. And the guy was talking about faith in unison with science. And he proved how his faith was strengthened because of studying the Shroud of Turin. So that's something you guys might want to check out. The TED Talk, I can't remember the guy's name. I'm 70, I forget names. That would be a good one. It's how faith and science work together, okay? All right, let's see. Oh man, priests and pastors misusing boys and girls and the church money. Man, we've heard all kinds of stuff on that, haven't we? And man, it's gotta stop. It's gotta stop. I could get whole states to promote gambling. Go Lotto, right? And what I don't know what it is these days, how much it is, but if you got money, you want to try to get that Lotto so you can, you know, make that millions. And even you can just go down the road and catch a casino anymore, right? And you can really waste some money in those casinos. Man, it's hard to get ahead that way. Marriage is old-fashioned.
That's true.
Yeah. You know, one of the toughest decisions in our churches today is, well, can we make that person a member because they're living together but they're not married? Ooh, how do you deal with that, right? That's a tough question you have to ask. But that's what our society's looking at today. Marriage is down, man. Swinging is more fun. We hear a lot of that. I would undress you in public and lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. Yeah, I think Paul had it right. 1965 was when he did that. And people, if you look at today's world, we are in trouble. I mean, we really are. It's a very decadent culture that we live in today. It's pretty obvious by today's standards that Paul was right. He saw it happen in 65, and it's all become normal today. We would like to think that it's something new. We would like to think that it's just the culture wars of today. But unfortunately, it's a tale as old as time. I have a prayer that I pray often because we were told to pray this. We were told to pray, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." And I pray that often. And when I do, I'm like, hey, you see what's going on down here, right? You know, how much longer are you going to put up with this? Right? And you know what he tells me? What's new? What's new? There's nothing new under the sun. It's been going on since the dawn of time. Well, there's a whole bunch of scripture that talks about the end times, and I want to read through some of that for you, so please don't go to sleep on me while I'm reading this. I'm going to read it as fast as I can, but there's some of it I want you guys to hear today, and then I've got some challenges for you at the end. Here we go, Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to tell you, just read chapter 1, okay? There's a couple of things in here that really stuck out to my mind, okay? And here they are. God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They suppress the truth by their wickedness. And as so God has abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desire. He's like, okay, that's what you want to be. Go ahead. Paul talks to Timothy and he says, hey, you got to talk to these guys. Some of them I've handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you know. And unfortunately, that's kind of where we're at today with a lot of people. But God has abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desire. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. And so they worshiped and served the things that God created instead of the Creator himself. I'm going to read just a couple more here. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even women turned against the natural way of having sex instead of indulging sex with each other. Men instead are having normal sexual relations with men. They're burning with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty that they deserved. Paul's speaking pretty bluntly. He's telling it like it is. And it's today's society. We all deal with it. He's abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that they never should have done. Here's a list of them. It says, their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling. Anybody been online recently and try to post something good and all of a sudden you get all kinds of hate, you know, coming back at you? Man, I have. I had to cut a few people off. Malicious behavior, gossip, backstabbers, haters of God. And it's usually those that are perhaps convicted of their sin the most are the ones that hate God. He doesn't want me to have fun. He doesn't want me to live the way I'm supposed to be living. So I hate God. Hate that. They're insolent. They're proud. They're boastful. Man, that is today's society more than ever before. They have find new ways of sinning. They disobedient to parents. They refuse to understand and break their own promises. They're heartless. They have no mercy. Remember, not too long ago, a young man stood up in the back of a bus or a train or something and just sliced that girl's throat. You know, that's what I think about something like that when they have no mercy. They understand that God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, and yet they go and do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do it with them too. Now, every Wednesday before I come here, I go to the Gilead House. And I've been doing that for several years now. And I do that MRT class, but I also do a finance class. I was asked not to do it anymore with community corrections because I kept talking about God. Maybe, I don't know. You know, it happens. Miss Reba wanted me to talk about God.
Wonderful.
Bless her heart. God, I miss her already. So that's why I'm still there. And that's why I go in there and talk to those girls. But I want to tell you something. I'm a father of four girls, guys. Breaks my heart to hear the stories of these women. Just freaking breaks my heart. I hear about being beat up by their spouse or significant other. I hear about how they've been trafficked. I've heard all kinds of stories on being trafficked. It's unbelievable. It really breaks my heart. But this shouldn't surprise all of us. I love the fact that God's got me there to minister to those girls. And it's kind of cool because if I see them outside, they always come up and give me a hug. And it makes it worth everything. Well, I just think also that even though I prayed that prayer and God says, hey, what's new? It's been going on since the dawn of time. We can even see what Jesus said about these things. In Luke chapter 17, he says, when the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days, the people enjoyed banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time that Noah entered the boat and the flood came and destroyed them all. Okay, so what happened in Noah's day? Genesis chapter 6, right? Genesis chapter 6 says, the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on earth. You're still looking at it, right? Yep. He saw that everything that they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry that he ever made man. And it broke his heart. The Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, I will destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, even the birds in the sky. I'm even sorry that I made them. But Noah found favor with the Lord, the only righteous man according to God on the face of the earth. Back in Luke 17, the world will be as it was in the days of Lot. Right? People went about their daily business, eating and drinking, buying and selling, farming and building. I get to drive cars for the car dealers once in a while. That's how I make my money. big job. But it's a good job. I love it. I get to meet new people and get to talk with people on the way there and back. But you know what? I'm driving here, driving back here yesterday with a new car, and I'm looking out, and I'm looking at all these different buildings I've never seen before. Holy cow, they got these huge warehouses, and most of them are empty. You know, I'm thinking, why do they keep building these, and they're not full, and they're not using them? But they think they're going to. They think they're going to, so they keep building. And what about, have you seen lately all the different apartment complexes they're building these days? Because nobody today can afford to buy a home. So they're building all these apartments, not to mention the 20 million people or so that came over the border that didn't have a home. So I don't want to get too political though today. Luke 17, right? It says, until the morning that Lot left Sodom, that everything was business as usual. And then fire and burning sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. Yes, it'll be business as usual right up until the day that the Son of Man is, is revealed. And on that day, a person that's out on the deck of the roof must not go down into the house to pack. A person that's out in the field must not return to home. Remember what happened to Lot's wife? She looked back, right? Yeah, turned into a pillar of salt. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you let your life go, you will save it. That night, two people will be asleep. One in bed, one will be taken, the other one left. Two women will be grinding flour together in the mill. One will be taken, the other one left. This will happen? When will this happen to the Lord? The disciples asked the Lord. Jesus replied, just as the gathering of vultures, that's something else I got to see yesterday. You know, I thought vultures were just over in my neighborhood. They're everywhere. They are everywhere. But just as those vultures show that there's a carcass down there that needs to be eaten, so these signs will indicate that the end is near. Also in Matthew 24, Jesus tells them, don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming that I am the Messiah. And they will deceive many. You will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. You know, we got all kinds of wars going on. You can go over into Africa. There's all kinds of wars going on over there. And it's Christians that are being taken out. There's Christians that's being killed. I understand that the fastest growing Christian church today is in the country of Iran. Hello? There's a war going on over there, isn't there? Yeah. And there's a war going on in... Oh, did you remember that there's a war going on in Ukraine and Russia? We kind of forgot about that, you know, because we're worried about Iran, because that affects our oil prices, right? So, but it's wars. It's rumors of wars. Don't panic. Yes, these things must take place. But the end won't follow immediately. So don't get too nervous just yet. Nation will go to war against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. You know what the ring of fire is? You guys know what that is? That's the earthquakes that happen all around the Pacific Ocean. And they happen daily. Maggie and I used to live in California, and we had our first child out there, and one night we got the experience of 4.5, and it was kind of cool, I thought. Maggie was freaking out. She's like, oh, I gotta get the baby, and I said, okay, go look at her, you know, everything's fine. But I'm sitting there in bed, and I'm going, well, we're just gonna ride this out, can't do much about it right now. And it like picked up the house and then rocked it back and forth, you know. And that was kind of weird, but I like an e-ticket ride, so it worked out for me. But we were fine. Did you hear the news that, we don't have to worry about that here in Indiana, because it just happens on the West Coast, right? Well, the news yesterday said that there were people in Indiana that felt the earth shake underneath them. In Indiana, all over the state. And that was in the news yesterday. I thought that was interesting. Earthquakes in many parts of the world. But all of this is only the first of birth pains. I've been there when all four of my girls were born. I know what, man. I got 10 grandkids, and I got one that's due this month. And my daughter Elise is having her second, and it's a little girl, and I'm just, oh man, I just can't wait for her to get out here and play with Papa. But you know what? They have to go through a lot of birth pains to get that baby, you know? So we're kind of like, come on, Jesus, come on back, come on back. Wait a minute. It's got to be some birth pains first, right? Okay, but then the end will come. The good news about the kingdom of God will be preached throughout the whole world. That has never been, and throughout the history of mankind, has never been an opportunity for that to come true like it is today. Today we can say the whole world has been reached through media, CBN, you know, TBN, all these places all over the world. We got missionaries everywhere. I just talked to my bro today. We were talking about his daughter and son-in-law and how they're missionaries over in Africa. And man, I tell you, we miss the heck out of them, but we're very proud of them for what they're doing. And you know, but we've got missionaries everywhere in the world right now. We've even got missionaries in America that have come here from Africa and other places because they want to see the United States come to Jesus, and I think that's kind of cool. This is all coming when you see all this. This is exactly what the prophet Daniel spoke about, and the sacrilegious object causes desecration standing in the holy place. Now I'm thinking that's the only thing that's not done yet. That temple hasn't been built yet. And I'm kind of waiting to see when that happens. I hear they can do it in a couple of years and make it according to specifications. And they've already got it in works, but it's not done yet. Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 28 says this, and I'm almost done, so hang in there. There will be strange signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and here on earth, nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides. People will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken, and then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. When all of these things begin to happen, stand up and look up because your salvation is near. Okay? Anybody hear anything recently about a comet named Atlas, AI Atlas? Man, I'll tell you, there was all kinds of stuff on YouTube about that. And how, oh, but it's not like any other comet. It's different. It's you know, it's a different structure, and the way it's flying and everything's different about it. We think this is a spacecraft, not a comet, right? You've heard that, right? On YouTube, you guys checked it out. I know. Okay, well, here's another one for you. Anybody Star Wars fans? Yeah, a little bit. Okay, got a new one coming out, right? You hear that? Yeah, that's kind of cool. And, this guy Spielberg, he's doing a new movie called Disclosure. Yeah. Disclosure. What are they going to disclose? There's a good article on CBN News yesterday. If you want to pull that up on Facebook later. And they talked about this. Because they think that our president is going to release information. He's going to disclose alien technology, possibility of alien life. And the reason that CBN brought this up is because if something like that comes to forefront, we need to be ready for this. What are we going to think if there is something like that? You know, and what, you know what, if Area 51 is a real deal, you know? What, you know, what if, all right? The question is what are you going to believe about it? And as churches, what are we going to do to share with our people what we know to be true? We've got to stick to the script. Come on. We got to stick to this Bible, because this is the source. This is the source. It's not about Area 51. I don't care what they say. I don't care what that movie says. I might go watch it because it might be fun, you know. I've always kind of thought about stuff like that and enjoyed the concept of space travel and Star Trek and Star Wars. But what about disclosure? What if people in this world say there is something outside of it? Well, God made a big universe. Why would he just build one planet with one life force? Oh, wait a minute. Scripture does say that we're supposed to rule and reign with him throughout creation. That'd be cool. I'd like one of those jobs. Send me, Lord. All right, so I said all that today just because I want to wake you up, okay? Today's society, guys, today's society is definitely what Paul Harvey was talking about and what Jesus has been talking about for years, for 2,000 years. And so here we are. What are we going to do? We have to see today's signs. Today's world is a mess. And it's real close. It's real close. I had an old pastor that kind of raised me, kind of like my spiritual dad. Pastor Bob. Brother Bob said, he said one time, he says, I've always thought maybe God would come back in my lifetime. He said, but I really don't think that's going to happen. He says, but I'm pretty sure he's coming in your lifetime. And I'm like 70 now, so I'm like, it's close. You know, if Pastor Bob was right. But you know, even the early church thought Jesus was coming back then. And all throughout history, we've had somebody get up and say, Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back soon. What are you going to do about it? Bring people to Christ. Well, we still got people on the internet and on TV that'll tell you that. It's getting close. Now, I'm seeing vultures here, right? I'm seeing vultures that are saying, hey, this is coming. This is coming, and it's never been closer than it is right now, according to what God's word says is going to happen in the end of days. So, I'm going to read one more scripture. Here it is. You must keep watch, because you don't know the day or the hour of my return. Amen. You don't know. None of us know. It could be today. All right, so here's what I want you guys to do. Each of you have a list of questions at your table, and this is what I want you to talk about for the next 10 minutes, okay? If you can. If you can't, I understand. But the clock is ticking. The midnight hour is rapidly approaching. We are running out of time. Jesus, our King and Lord, is prepared to return, and we must make ourselves ready to go and make disciples in this world. But the question remains, what will happen if they look at us? Will they see Jesus in us? Will they want to have that life that we have because Jesus lives in us? Will they even know it if we don't show it and talk to them about it? They've got to know. We're running out of time. And if you knew that Jesus was coming back next week during huddle, right? If you knew that Jesus was coming back here next week at 1 o'clock, right as soon as huddle is finished, what would you do between now and then? What are you going to do? Do you actually believe that he's coming? Jesus says, I'll come in a time you think not.
Right?
And if you knew he was coming back, what kind of things would you do differently between now and next week? What would you do differently? And then the last question is, why aren't you doing it? Why aren't you doing it? Because he's coming. Whether it's next week, tonight, a year from now, he's still coming.
True.
And we've got to be ready. I don't know about you guys, but I got some family and friends that still don't know Jesus. I got some work to do. You do too. That's what I want you to talk about and pray about. And I want your life to be different this week. I want you guys to come back next week with reports about what you did this week in sharing Jesus with somebody who never, ever knew about Jesus.
Amen.
Get to work.
Okay.
See you next week.